Welcome. Well, you are at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family, and we are delighted that you've welcomed us into your home. We would love to hear from you, so please send us an email with your question or your comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com and check us out on Facebook. So the official statement from the Vatican, which was read by Cardinal Kevin Farrell from the chapel of the Domus Santa Marta, where Pope Francis lived. And it said, "Dearest brothers and sisters, with deep sorrow, I must announce the death of our Holy Father Francis. At 7:35 this morning, the Bishop of Rome, Francis, returned to the Father's house. His entire life was dedicated to the service of the Lord and his church. He taught us to live the values of the gospel with faithfulness, courage, and universal love, especially for the poorest and the most marginalized. With immense gratitude for his example as a true disciple of our Lord Jesus, we commend the soul of Pope Francis to the infinite, merciful love of God, one and triune." And so here we are in this beautiful Easter season, and a blessed Easter to all of you. And then we got this news. Everyone on senior staff got phone calls at 3:30 this morning, and we were notified of Pope Francis's passing. And so we're in this time of joy and sorrow and pivoting. It's like, oh Lord, I mean, but this is life and death. Life. This is amalio dolce. This is the bitter and the sweet of how we are.
Yeah. So yeah, we mourn at the loss of our Holy Father, but we don't mourn as people without hope. We have hope. We're in the Easter octave, these holy days where every day is Easter day until the octave is over. Then we're in Easter season. The whole focus for 40 days is on the resurrection of the body, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. No myth there that we believe in the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. And so, yeah, it's mourning, joy, sorrow. CEO Michael Warsaw, chairman of the board, made a statement as well regarding our Holy Father's passing. I think he's already been on TV throughout the day. So Michael Warsaw says this: "The death of Pope Francis is a moment of personal grief for Catholics around the world. Together with our entire EWTN family, I mourn his passing and join the church in prayers for the repose of his soul. I was privileged to be able to meet Pope Francis a number of times throughout the years and was always struck by his kindness and good humor in our encounters. As Catholics, we thank God for the life and pontificate of Pope Francis, and in particular for his tireless advocacy for those in the peripheries. As part of our service to the church in this moment, EWTN will air programming to honor Pope Francis's life and legacy, as well as coverage of the many devotions and masses from the Vatican, including the Holy Father's funeral mass. We invite our global audience to join us in this period of mourning. May God have mercy on his servant and grant him eternal rest." Michael Warsaw, CEO of EWTN. So we've been praying so much for the Holy Father's health. I mean, he's got a couple of months there with a double infection, you know, in his lungs and teeter-tottering in the midst of life and death. And, you know, Easter, he made several, like, appearances. He spoke from the window as best he could do that. He met with people. I don't know, maybe even went in the Pope Mobile, took a ride. But he was working Easter, and then he, you know, passes away, you know, Monday in the morning, you know. So it's just absolutely amazing. To learn more about the interregnum, that means kind of the transition between things, from one pope to another pope, transition for this church. To learn more about the interregnum process of the church, you can go to ewtn.com/interregnum, interregnum, ewtn.com/interregnum. And so, yeah, and so I went there. So it's a wonderful website. You know, there's so many steps. You know, if the Pope dies, a period of mourning, however many days that is, possibly around 9 days, you know, his burial, and then the cardinals start coming in, and then they have the conclave, and then the vote and the scrutinies of the vote to make sure everything's accurate. So we're going to go into that period. Mm-hmm. But the best thing we could do is pray for the transition of our Holy Father from this world to eternal life, and the transition from our church from one Holy Father to another Holy Father. And this has been going on for thousands of years. Mm-hmm. And the Lord will see us through.
Yeah.
Question for today. What aspects and practices do you appreciate about the 50 days of Easter season? What aspects and practices do you appreciate about the 50 days of Easter season? Easter is a season. Octave now, every day is Easter. The next, what was it, 8 days, nine mm-hmm. days?
Eight
and
days,
8 days.
Yep.
And then we go into the Easter season as a whole. And so we're united as a community, as the church, in joy for the resurrection, mourning for our Holy Father, and trust that he too will rise again and have eternal life. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away.
Welcome back. So the question for today's show is this. What aspects and practices do you appreciate about the 50-day Easter season? And here we are. It's Easter Monday. And we're a people that are full of hope. We are in the Jubilee year of hope that Pope Francis kicked off for us, right? So we're still in the season of hope. We're in Easter, we're in joy, we're in sorrow, we're in mourning, we're being fully alive and experiencing life and death, and Mother Church is steady at the helm, and we just all have to just stay on the ship and go for the ride. Storms will come, tribulations will come, trials will come, but nothing will change. Jesus is still Lord, and it is a beautiful day to be alive.
And nothing will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our
nothing.
Lord. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor height, nor depth, nor anything
nothing.
In all of creation will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord, because Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. We
yes.
mourn for our Holy Father. We mourn the loss of our loved ones, but we do not mourn without great hope, because life has conquered death. Mm-hmm. Christ has the last word. Praise the Lord.
Well, we have Father Patrick Mary Briscoe with us this morning because he's the editor of Our Sunday Visitor. And we recently had him at the cathedral, and he shared, he was part of a Lenten retreat that he led also with Father Lou.
And another priest.
And another priest from their beautiful
order. It's with the order of preachers.
Yes.
Yeah. So Father Briscoe, welcome to At Home with Jim and Joy. And we were just together a couple of weeks back, and it's so wonderful to have you with us. And who knew that the Holy Father would pass away on the day that you're with us as well. And so we're coming to you. You know, our theme was sharing with us about Easter as a season, and what does that mean? What are some of the aspects? But if you want to share about that in relationship to the Holy Father, or speak a word about the Holy Father, you go right ahead. Welcome to the show.
Friends, thank you so much for having me on. It was really an incredible thing to get your invitation, and it's really great to be with you. I'm here in the process of traveling, getting ready to head to Rome to attend Pope Francis' funeral now,
wow.
which is just such a surprise, as you say. It caught us all off guard. It was shocking news to receive here on Easter Monday. But as you were talking, Jim, you know, I think that's absolutely the right message, is that the message of Easter is a message of hope.
Yes.
And how incredible that Pope Francis passed away during this Jubilee year of hope.
Yes.
You know, I was looking at Pope Francis' last words to the public, you know, which was, of course, his great address, the Urbi et Orbi address given yesterday
okay.
for Easter Sunday. And in that message, Pope Francis encourages us to remember that death is not the end.
Mm.
It was an extraordinary last message to leave the church.
Yes.
So with this Jubilee year of hope, with this sense of Easter joy, with confidence in the resurrection, we rest assured that God will provide for our Holy Father, and that he will continue to offer consolation to the church, we who mourn his loss,
yes.
and that he'll continue to guard and to protect us. The Holy Spirit will lead us.
Yes. Yeah, it's been something with his struggle over the last, you know, couple of months or so with the pneumonia in both lungs and teetering between life and death. And we have Joan from Rome, Joan Lewis, each show, you know, that we have on Mondays. She was just sharing with us about praying for the Holy Father and so on. And I really came very close, the closest I've ever felt to the Holy Father during his time of health crisis. And it's just amazing because, you know, you have a love for the Father and just praying for him on an almost an ongoing basis and drawing so close to him. And I think, again, he's one of those people like John Paul, you know, when it came to the conclusion of his life, who led it so strongly. I mean, I think it was John Paul, you know, when he talked from the hospital window and said, you know, look, I'm like you. I'm just like you. You know, I'm suffering here. I've got health issues just like you. And I think, you know, he may have lived his best the last few months. And it's the mystery. It's what John Paul called the gospel, the good news of suffering. Mm. The good news of suffering, which seems like an oxymoron. But I think we really saw that in both John Paul and the last couple of months here with Pope Francis.
No, it's such a good point. As St. Paul says, every Christian bears in his body the sufferings of Christ. And all of us are called to mysteriously, as St. Paul says, make up what is lacking, but to allow our lives to be conformed to the cross and to imitate Jesus in his suffering. And it's so clear that Pope Francis was doing just that in these last months, these last years, watching really how graciously he continued to be and how determined. You know, I found it so moving that Pope Francis wanted to continue to make public appearances to be with the people, which I think is demonstrative of his papacy and how he governed as Peter. He wanted to be near people, to be close to them. And in these last days, we saw that in a very, very special, very beautiful way, which I think is going to be part of Pope Francis' legacy, ultimately.
Yes. Well, Father, could you share with us a little bit, some people, maybe not Catholics, maybe some Catholics, you know, we celebrate Easter, and we said that was fantastic. So glad we went through Holy Week and Good Friday, and we just have, you know, a great time lifting up the resurrection. And maybe we don't realize and we forget that it's a whole season. And so just touch on what you think are some of the most important things regarding that season, what's happening when, other celebrations during that time, whatever you'd like to share that we need to know.
Absolutely. What's so extraordinary about Easter is that it's not just one day, of course, it's 8 days in the octave. And so we have 8 days in the octave to continue the celebration. So every day being a little Easter, you know, for the next week. So that's mixed with sorrows, we mourn Pope Francis, but ultimately we're bringing that celebration of Easter alive with the same joy of Easter morning. And then in addition, you know, to these 8 days, we have the whole season of Easter, which is 50 days leading to Pentecost, marked, of course, by the ascension of Christ, the final departure of our Lord and his return, of course, to the Father, to heaven, and the joy that will come with the Holy Spirit when we celebrate Pentecost. Mm.
Yes. And, of course, we got Divine Mercy coming up Sunday. So that's, like, so special within the Easter season. And I love, one of the favorite things to me is just going through the resurrection appearances, like those 40 days. I mean, he literally appeared. There were all these encounters going on. And I often like to just kind of list them all, see them. And I guess I got some of my favorite appearances of the Lord. But this underlines again and again and again, not simply that Jesus was a historic figure, but that the resurrection was a historic as well as supernatural happening. And I just think that's so important because the scriptures and the witnesses to the resurrection underline this again and again and again. It's not just a spiritual resurrection. It isn't just that Jesus walked upon the face of the earth. Is it that body that was crucified, and he predicted that body would be raised up after 3 days. And these people are saying, we encountered this. We encountered him. He's not just some kind of phantom. This is the same Jesus on the cross who's risen from the dead. So I think just going over those resurrection appearances and what they were saying to us is so critical that we would have that hope.
No, it's such a remarkable practice to do. And I love this point you're making that Jesus, of course, is truly risen, but he was seen by many people. You know, the New Testament is full of all these great examples of people that saw Christ who testified to it. You know, not just one, two, but all the disciples. Tradition holds the Virgin Mary. We have the friends of Jesus, Mary Magdalene, and other women disciples. Yes. And then even as many as 500 at once, we read. So we know that there are many who can bear witness to the fact that the resurrection really happened. And all of these events and thinking about them, thinking about these encounters, gives us confidence as we live as disciples today. I love how you're pointing that out and underscoring that, because too often we move right from Lent to summertime, I think. And we don't realize the value that reflecting on these Easter encounters really has and what it can do to build us all up in our own faith.
Right. And just the power of that journey. And Father, we certainly pray God's blessings on your journey as you're heading to Rome for Pope Francis's funeral. Father, thank you so much for being with us today.
I want to ask Father one more thing.
Yes.
Hey, Father, I thought I saw this someplace. Are you involved? I think it's called like the Jubilee for Teenagers in Rome.
Absolutely, Jim.
Tell us a little bit about that.
For EWTN.
Yeah.
So we have this great celebration for young people that was going to be marked, was going to conclude with the canonization of Carlo Acutis. Well, the canonization has been postponed, but we just received word that the Jubilee for Adolescents is going to continue.
Okay.
So some of the events that were planned are still going to be held. Many young people who now, I'm sure, will be able to participate in expressions of mourning and affection for the late Pope Francis. So,
you're going
to
help host this?
To see.
You're going to help host this with EWTN somehow? Because I saw your face popping up on EWTN. I was thinking, oh, because we're going to have him on our show. And they're saying, no,
exactly.
He's going to be
with... That was the plan. So all of this is ongoing. We're still in all kinds of conversations as we prepare the coverage for the Jubilee of Adolescents, but then also the coverage of Pope Francis' funeral. So,
Father, thank you for making time for us.
Father.
God bless you. Godspeed to you. Thank you.
Friends, thank you for having me on. Happy Easter.
Thank you.
Happy Easter. Wow, bless his heart. I mean, on the road.
Yeah.
I mean, really, truly saying, my life is not my own. Here I am, Lord. Send me, right? So he was going there for the beautiful thing that got postponed with Carlos Acutis. I mean, a lot is happening. You want to keep it on EWTN to get all of the facts, to know everything that is going on, especially, you know, during this time of transition as we go. EWTN will give full coverage of everything. Everyone is en route to Rome. Father John Paul is also going to Rome.
Yeah.
Matthew Bunsen's going to Rome. I mean, there will be EWTN coverage, and you don't want to miss it.
Well, we will be right back. There's plenty more to come on this historic day in the Easter octave. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, to give us more information on the passing of Pope Francis, we have Joan Lewis in Rome on the phone right now to give us her report. Joan?
Hello there. Good evening. Or in Rome, anyway.
Yeah.
Yes, bless you.
Well, as things are happening, to be honest, at this very minute, quite a number of things. A rosary is being said for the repose of soul of Pope Francis by Cardinal Gambetti and others. He's the Archpriest of St. Peter's Basilica. That's in St. Peter's Square. And then St. John Lateran, which, of course, is the Pope's cathedral as the Bishop of Rome. The Cardinal Vicar is presiding at Mass for the Holy Father. And then very shortly at 8 p.m. Rome time, Cardinal Kevin Farrell Camerlengo of the Church will ascertain, and that is to say confirm, the Pope's death in an official ceremony in the Vatican, in the chapel of the papal apartment. And that goes on. The Pope himself, Pope Francis, changed a number of things regarding a papal death and papal funeral, and that was one of the changes. The death would be ascertained not in the room in which he died, typically a bedroom, but rather in the chapel. And then also tonight, the papal apartment in the Apostolic Palace and his apartment at Casa Santa Marta will both be sealed. And then I don't know exactly what time, but I think very shortly, the Vatican is set to release the Pope's last will and testament. So
wow.
lots of things happening, you know.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, this time which has just begun. And for me, the key word is transition, and to pray for the Holy Father's transition from this world to eternal life. Pray for that transition. Pray blessings upon him, anything that he needs. And then the transition of our church, of our family, from one Holy Father to another Holy Father. For me, the word transition stands out. Does that make sense to you?
A change, a transition, a huge transition. We talk about death as being a transition from life here to the afterlife, to what is supposed to be our final destination with God in heaven. But you know who I also think of these days, because I know quite a number of them, I think of the cardinals who are coming to Rome, who are going to enter into conclave, of course, after celebrating, you know, the Pope's funeral. And these men, one of whom will come out of the conclave wearing white and being our new Pope. So come, Holy Spirit, come on the soul of the Holy Father, the late Pope Francis. Yep. And then please, Holy Spirit, sit on the shoulder of every one of the cardinals who will enter into conclave.
Joan, thank you so much, Joan, for all that you're doing there. Thank you for instructing us about things we should be considering. God strengthen you, keep you. May his Holy Spirit be upon you as well. Thank you for the special report there this evening from Rome. So we all continue to pray for Pope Francis. Yes. We pray for the cardinals, as she said, and we pray for this transition that will take place, this interregnum. Be sure to join us on Wednesday when we have the very Reverend Chris Alar of the Marian Fathers, the Immaculate Conception, to speak with us about divine mercy. It's sure to be a great show. And remember, you're an important part of this EWTN family. You're never alone. You're always at home with Jim and Joy. Bye now.